So you've heard a few of the testimonies from Joanne and Haley, but I'm going to invite five more of the team members to come up and just give a short testimony on their experience down in Peru, just covering some of the different aspects of the trip that we were able to experience. So we'll start with Faith.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Faith Mix, and it was my privilege to go to Peru with the team in March. The entire trip was eye-opening, but one day in particular really impacted me in many ways. This was the day that we had the opportunity to go to the daycare in Trujillo. On the way there, I didn't really know what was going to happen or what the kids would be like, but it ended up being so much more than I could even imagine. Firstly, walking into the daycare was beyond exciting. It was such an encouraging experience, and seeing them just so happy made me instantly happy as well. They didn't think twice about running up to us and holding our hand while we played games or hopping on our backs for a ride. They didn't care that we didn't speak the same language. We didn't need to. The second way I personally felt impacted was by a little girl named Kiara. She was the first one to grab my hand for a game of red light, green light. She had so much energy in life, and whether it was drawing with chalk or letting them play with my hair, they were so full of joy and happy to do whatever. It was really neat to see how much love these kids had to give and how much they needed it as well. It really opened my eyes and my heart to see how we should be like those kids and the way that they were so quick to love and didn't even think about it. It just was something that came natural. Also, to see that these kids who didn't speak a word of English could teach us so much by saying nothing at all. The third way that I could see it impacting myself was that it really made me see how what we were doing back at the camp would look, how it would benefit kids just like the ones we had the opportunity to meet. It really made me feel like I was making a difference, hopefully in Kiara's life, but also back at the orphanage, where eventually kids would grow up in an environment where they could grow and have people building into their lives and learning about Jesus. I thought that it made the construction part of the trip not easier, but definitely worthwhile. I could not be more thankful that I was able to go down there and experience and see the work that God is doing. I'd also like to thank Dave, Joanna, and Ray for putting so much time and energy into this trip. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Josh Stranks, and I'm here to talk about my Compassion Child visit. My child's name is Nieli Tatiana Vilca Fernandez, and she is the sweetest, most shy girl that I've ever met in my entire life. Me, Dave, and Haley met our Compassion children at the mall in Trujillo, where we met the children and either the family, or in my case, the youth pastor of Nieli. We ate a quick lunch in the food court, and that's when I realized Nieli is exactly like me. She is super shy, loves sugary food, and hates making decisions. After getting her to finally decide on what she wanted to do, we went shopping for school supplies and clothing. Now, I know for myself, I really do not enjoy shopping. In fact, I try avoiding it as much as possible. And when I'm forced to go shopping, I try to get done as fast as possible. But that day was not about me, and I realized just how grateful she was to be there. In her 12 years of living in Trujillo, she had never once been to the mall, not once. Sadly, Nayeli's mother could not be there with us because she had gone to the market and had not made it back in time. So her youth pastor tagged along as her guardian. Her pastor told me her story of how, before she was even born, her father walked out on them, of how she got involved in some bad things, but then her pastor took her under his wing and taught her about Christ. She has now accepted Christ into her life, has been baptized, and is currently in the church choir. What amazes me is the fact that Nieli got out of and was able to get away from the bad things in her life. A statistic was done in the U.S., and if you've seen the movie Courageous, then you will know what it is about. Fatherless homes are the cause of 63% of youth suicides, 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 85% of all children with behavioral problems, and 85% of all youth in prisons. It was probably much higher rates in countries like Peru, where crime rates are through the roof. It just goes to show that through Christ, anything is possible. He can change anything and has the power to affect people's lives drastically like Nayeli's. Later in the afternoon, she asked to go to the arcade. She quickly went to the air hockey table and asked if we could play. Now, we used to own an air hockey table, and as I grew older, I got bored of it. But just to see the smile on her face from playing a game that most of us here in Canada would take for granted. She was all laughs and all smiles for the whole time we were in there. The hardest and most difficult part of meeting her was at the end when I had to say goodbye. It was just so amazing to meet her in person. Everyone in the world can write a letter and send money, but I had the opportunity to meet her, and it was the most unique and amazing experience I've ever had. I'm so glad that Compassion is doing what they are doing. I can't imagine them not doing what they do. They make such a big impact in kids' lives that it changes them forever. They provide monetary support. They keep the kids off the streets and which helps a lot in keeping kids out of gangs or doing drugs, and help get an education for them for a future. People say that meeting your compassion child can change that kid's life forever, and I agree with that statement, but they also change your life forever.
Hey guys, Dave has asked me to share a few short words on our experience in Peru. I first want to tell you all about the dump outside of Trujillo, which is the city we were in. I'm sure you all have seen pictures and heard stories, but neither words nor pictures can describe the conditions that these people work and sometimes live in. For about $10 US a week, they have to sort through literally miles of burning garbage to find something that may be recyclable. It was kind of funny, actually. I was at work a little while ago, and I was burning some stuff, and some garbage must have slipped into the burn pile. When I smelt it, I was like, I really miss Peru. But seriously, the amount of flies and smoke, it was just beyond my imagination, and I wasn't expecting it to be that bad at all. But yeah, so we bought a bunch of fruit from the market before we went to the dump. I actually fed a donkey a banana. It was really weird, but yeah, but anyway, as I was handing some bananas out, there was this elderly man. I really felt the need to pray for him because he looked so thin and weak, and he looked just like he was struggling. He was covered in dirt and grime, and I put my hand on this man's shoulder and I prayed for him. And Danielle, a leader that came with us, translated for me. And even in Spanish, I could just feel God's love flowing between us. And it's an amazing, overwhelming feeling. And that was just another reminder to me that God is everywhere. And he is a constant God that will never change, no matter what language. Another thing I wanted to talk about was a ministry just outside of the city dump called Elim. Elim is run by an American missionary named Brent and his wife. What they do at Elim is provide a place for kids to stay during the day while their parents go and work in the dump. Elim is basically a diamond in the rough in this whole dump there. It was a place where these children could spend their day and just be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was very encouraging to see these missionaries devoting their life to the work of God, even though it would be an extremely long and bumpy road. But like they had to bring in drinking water and pails, and they powered their stereo that was pumping Spanish worship songs with a car battery because there was no hydro out there. And some of the women that supported Elim also made these really cool bracelets and purses out of plastic bags that they found in the dump. And we all had a good time looking at those and shopping. And finally, I wanted to talk about the construction site that we worked on and lived at while we were in Peru. Yeah, what can I say? They must have paid off the safety inspector big time. The first service liked that one more, but but seriously, the work was very challenging and hard some days. A lot of the work had to do with cement and either putting sand and rocks into the mixer or carrying buckets up and down a homemade ladder. I remember some of the girls were cutting rebar with a chop saw, and there's sparks flying everywhere, and they're like, "Do we need glasses?" And the guys were like, "No, no, no, it's okay." I also remember one of my favorite jobs was the brick toss. We kind of turned it into a game. We had to throw bricks from the ground up onto the scaffold for this wall, and it was kind of fun seeing the worker dive like off the scaffolding to try and grab these bricks that we were throwing at them. I know we all made some great relationships while we were working with both other churches and the Peruvians down there. I also remember we had to clear thorn bushes with machetes and a chainsaw, and we were dealing with like 3-inch thorns. Like, these are big thorns, and reminded every time that we would get pricked with one about the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. But working and using the gifts and talents that God has given me was really a rewarding feeling. Before I began to write this speech, I started to complain because I really don't like writing or talking about my feelings with other people, let alone in front of a big crowd. But then I remembered that my problems are so small compared to those people in Peru. I shouldn't have anything to complain about. God has really blessed all of us with our lives here, and I think that we should all be very thankful that we live in a country like Canada. And going to Peru, I really think that this opened all our eyes up to this. Thanks for listening, everyone. Dios bendita. God bless.
Good morning. So I'm Leslie Hotham, and I'm glad to be able to share a bit about my experience in Peru, just to kind of allow you guys to have a bit of the same feelings that we had when we were down there. So as I was preparing for the trip, I thought I knew what to expect. I had a few friends who had gone down a couple years ago, and they kind of told me what to expect, but I mean, it's never real until you actually are there and experiencing it. And so a few of the things I knew what to expect would be hard to communicate because we speak a totally different language. I knew maybe a few phrases in Spanish, but it doesn't get you that far. and I knew it would be a huge culture shock compared to here because I've seen pictures, I've seen videos of students and kids down there and in South Africa and all that. We've all seen it, but to actually be there, I knew it would be a huge shock for me. I think one of the hardest parts for me and for all of us was the communication. Only a few of us knew Spanish, and not a lot of us did. And I only knew a few phrases. And I know that Sarah McLeod said at the auction dinner before the trip that we need to be the hands and feet of God instead of the voice. And that really became real to me there, and that we can show love in many ways. We can show love through our words, but down in Peru, it's harder to do that because you don't speak the same language. And so even with the kids at the daycare, I was able to use my language. And there's this one girl named Imid, and she just really clung to me and connected to me. She wouldn't let go of me. And it's an amazing relationship you can bond, and you don't know much about them, and you can't speak the same language as them, but yet the relationships that you bond and the love that just pours out of the kids to us and our love that pours out to the kids. And it was just really cool to be able to just see God's work and see God's love pouring out to these children through us, and not without having the same, speaking the same language. So I know that even though they didn't speak English and we knew very little Spanish, we still bonded amazing relationships with each other and with the other Peruvians down there. And while we were there, we got to experience some really cool things that I have never been able to see or smell or experience before. And it showed me a different side of life. The culture they live there is so different from ours. It's nothing that you can ever explain in a picture. And it's hard to be down there and see the lives of these people and what they go through compared to what we go through. And so it really changed my life, and I know it changed everyone on the team's life as well. So the culture and the lives of the people there, it's really difficult for them. Some of them live in dumps, some of them sleep in a dump, and they don't have much money. And like Josh was saying about his compassion child, she's been in Trujillo for 12 years, and she's never been to the mall. And we go to the mall practically every week, some of us, and it's just, they're so blessed still, and they still feel so blessed, and it's inspiring to be able to see that. And so they feel like blessed, but though they're difficult challenges, and they still rely on God, and through their faith, they still had amazing attitudes towards their situation. They were so happy, and I've seen some of the biggest smiles I've ever seen in my whole entire life in the children there and in the people. And so they feel blessed for what they have instead of being upset with what they don't have. They don't have anything to compare to. And I know I had my camera when we went to the daycare, and I wanted to take pictures of the kids, and the kids were fighting over my camera because they've never seen something like it before, and they were going around taking pictures, and it was just so amazing for them to see the smiles on their faces, to just be able to capture an image, because they've never seen anything like that. And it's something we here in Canada take for granted, and we just think of a camera as being something that everyone has, but none of the kids have ever seen it, and it was really cool to be able to see the smiles on their faces from having just a small device like that. And so I think for all of us, we were all shocked by the way that they live there and by the way that they act and treat each other. And it was so great to be able to bond with the team and with other people without having electronics. You know, to have face-to-face conversations is kind of foreign for some of us. And so I think it was really cool to be able to just talk to each other, get to know each other in ways that we haven't before, and build relationships with people from other churches and the Peruvians who didn't speak the same language, and some of them did. But I've made friendships that I've never had before like that. And so overall, I think the trip changed everybody on the team in a different way. God spoke to us in different ways, and we all had our lives changed forever. And so I just want to thank you guys for the support that you gave us to be able to go down there and experience the things that we did and just allow our lives to be changed through God. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Dean, and one of the really impactful things on my life through the trip was how inspiring the local Alliance Church was. Now, every day we would travel through the wild roads of Peru. This is where I think the safety inspectors went. But we would travel down these wild roads, and we would go eat dinner at this church almost every day. And now, I'm not a very good cook, but I know that making food for 40 different people is not easy, and they did this for us. And it made a little more sense when we got to see the actual church, and their sanctuary was maybe half the size of this one, but their church had 800 people. So they had 5 services going through the entire day. We also got to kind of see or join one of the small groups. There was 24 of them. And my group in particular, there was 5 of us, and when we kind of divided it up, the 4 guys ended up in one group, and I ended up by myself with the translator and no one else I knew. But really, in the end, what happened was we were just able to talk about our lives to each other through the translator, and in the end, we prayed for each other. And there's nothing like, if anyone's ever had that happen, someone praying for you in a different language, and even being able to pray for them in a different language was just, it was great, and it was awesome. And then we later got to go to the church service, and there's nothing like seeing a room full of people praising God in a completely different language with their hands in the air. And that was just so inspiring for me. And I guess the conclusion I was able to make from that is, you know, it doesn't matter how different the culture is, how crazy the roads are, God is working everywhere in the world.
Well, it's been a privilege to share with you some of our experiences. I just wanted to take a few moments to just to share some of my own thoughts and reflections as we look back on this trip. And it's just so evident to me and to the team that God was working down in Peru through the team. And he's at work right now in Peru with the people who are on the ground tirelessly working. And I'm going to be talking about them in just a minute. But you can see this has been an incredibly impactful experience for the entire team in many different ways. But before I start, I just want to say a big thank you to the congregation. We couldn't have done this without you. And just from the get-go back in August when we found out that we were actually going to be taking or doing the trip in March break and just had relatively little time to prepare, you've just had our backs right from the get-go. And this has been through the fundraising process, through the auction dinner that we had back in February, which was a great success. and just the volunteers and people offering to help in any way, whether that's driving team members to the airport or preparing food for meetings or even just some of the administrative aspects of the trip. And also just following along with our trip at missionperu.ca, where Ray had thousands of pictures and video blogs and updates, and just seeing how you guys responded through that. And every morning, Ray would give us an update of comments and blog posts, that sort of thing. And we could just tell through those comments, you guys were praying for us, you were thinking of us, and we just appreciated that so much while we were down there. It's been really encouraging for me to see the longevity of this partnership that has been happening that is called Mission Peru. And this partnership consists of three partners. The first is our District of Alliance Churches here in the Central Canadian District. Each youth group at each church is on board with this. And we're partnering with a missions organization called Inklink that is based out of the States. And the two of us are partnering with the local Alliance Churches down in Trujillo, Peru. And so that partnership started back in 2007. And it hasn't been without its difficulties. You've heard some of the students talk about the orphanage that's being built down there right now. Well, that orphanage still doesn't have any children living in it, and it's been about 6 years since the ground was broken. So there have been some challenges, obviously, in being allowed to actually have kids at the orphanage, and so some tough questions have been asked. Well, why is this? Why no children there yet? And it seems like whenever the facility is ready and the people are ready and we're just raring to go, the government steps in and puts some sort of stipulation in place, another hoop that needs to be jumped through before the kids are allowed to stay. And the latest one is that they've said that they need to have $150,000 American in their bank account, which is a full year operating budget, before they'll allow the children to come and stay at the orphanage. And praise God, they've actually raised that amount of money. So it looks like within just in the next couple weeks now, those first children are going to be making the orphanage their home, which is just awesome. So they're just on the verge of that. So we're looking forward to seeing pictures of kids running around the concrete patios that we help pour and staying within the walls that we help build to make them safe. So in spite of these challenges, things are happening and God is moving. So West London has sent down a team every other year since 2008. And this has been this was my second trip, so I've had the privilege of actually seeing the progress and the development that's happening on the ground. And there'll be some pictures on the slide behind me that sort of are a testament to that fact. And what's really neat is going back and talking with former team members from the past few years and just hearing comments like, hey, I helped pour that floor of that building that now is completely done. Or I helped build that trench that is now a 20-foot-high brick wall, which surrounds the entire compound. Or I remember meeting that kid after recognizing a kid in a picture. I remember meeting that kid 2 or 4 years ago, and it's just amazing to see how they've grown. And now our team can be added to that conversation as well. And the trenches that they dug, the cement patios that they helped pour, the supports for the wall that they helped put up, all of these contributing to the end goal of helping to create a safe place for children to escape the cycle of poverty and to hear the good news of the gospel. So there's that one end, that one aspect of it, the progress being made on the construction end of things. But there's also the relationships that have been made and the existing ones that have been strengthened that are just incredibly inspiring. And just on a personal note, just meeting the incredibly faithful Peruvians who are working in some of the most difficult conditions day in and day out, trying to better the situation of their neighbor selflessly. It's just been personally an amazing inspiration. And I just want to highlight a few of the people that we met. This isn't an exhaustive list. It would take a while for me to go through them all. But just a few that come to mind. One is the couple that's running the orphanage, and their names are Ignacio and Maylene. And they are actually living at the orphanage and working tirelessly to get it up and running, getting it ready for the day that they get the okay from the government to have the kids come in. They live there. This is their life. This is what they're committed to. Another one is a 60-year-old construction worker named Guillermo. And Guillermo was a legend. He had like really bad vision in one eye, so he's basically just operating with one eye, but one of the first days that we were there, we started building these supports that are helping to keep the wall up. And we're talking about sort of these safety practices that are down there. And yeah, there's a lot of questionable stuff that happens. But Guillermo would take these buckets of concrete, he'd hoist them up like they're nothing, put them on his shoulder, and then go up this ladder and put it at the top of the scaffolding, and then the concrete would get dumped in the form. And in the first few times that he did it, after seeing how heavy those buckets were and realizing that this guy is 60 years old, you're just kind of like, whoa. Like, you took a step back, and it was amazing to see that. And I remember just having a conversation with him, as best as I could, and just saying, man, I'm impressed. And he pointed up to God. He gave all the glory to God that he was 60 and scaling this ladder with a bucket of concrete. It was just amazing. He put us to shame. And one of the best compliments that you could get, actually, when we were down there, it was given to John Blackwell and Peter Appleton. They had worked with Guillermo for three afternoons straight in the hot sun, putting up these concrete supports. And it was after like 3 days and just hours and hours of working with them that Guillermo was like, these gringos are all right. They were all right. Another example is a young man named Hoka, who's in his early 20s. And Hoka became a Christian when he was 18. And realized sort of in the years following that there was a huge need for ministry to younger boys in that city, the city of Trujillo. So he started an outdoor adventure sports ministry called Inca Taki, where they go sandboarding and skimboarding on the ocean, and they just do outdoorsy stuff together. And he uses that as an opportunity to tell the good news of the gospel, to speak truth into the lives of these young boys who otherwise might very likely get caught up in a life of crime and get caught up in the gangs that are so prevalent down in Trujillo. Will mentioned Brent and Stephanie, who work at the garbage dump as well, and they run a ministry called Elim. And 4 or 5 days a week, they are at the dump in those conditions that you saw in those pictures, just ministering to the kids of the families who work in the garbage dump. And this is just, it's amazing, because it, actually being at the dump, and you really need to kind of see it to experience it, but it's just sort of miles and just garbage as far as you can see, and there's burning garbage, and there's dogs and donkeys, and it just seems like a very hopeless place. But Brent and Stephanie are just being faithful to their calling from the Lord, and 4 or 5 days a week, they are running a kids program where they're telling Bible stories and playing games and just speaking words of encouragement into these kids' lives, giving them hope. In regards to the dump, we actually have a couple of special guests with us today, Jeremy and Corey. Maybe they can give a wave. Jeremy and Corey actually spent 3 months in Peru in 2010 as interns for Inklink, so they know a lot about what we're talking about here, and we're just very glad and privileged and honored that you guys are here today. And Corey, in particular, you see his website up on the slide there. He spent 4 days working alongside a gentleman named Chichi, who works in the dump and is also sort of a leader in the community. And so he knows firsthand the conditions that these guys are working with. And I was chatting with him last night about it, and realizing that Chichi gets up, they sleep from like 8 p.m. to midnight. They get up at midnight, they ride out into the dump, and that's when the garbage trucks come in, bring in fresh garbage. And so they work all night long, just rooting through the garbage, breaking open bags, finding anything of value, any recyclables that they can take to get reimbursed for, any food for their animals, and even in some cases, food for themselves. So I know both of them would be very happy to speak with any of you if you have any questions about that, or you can check out Corey's website as well. So these people were very inspirational for me, and I know they were inspirational for the rest of the team as well. But they helped us realize the purpose of this trip. And this wasn't just a week-long adventure of the excitement of seeing a new country or eating some different food or meeting some new people. And it was all of those things, but it should be so much more. And the whole point of this trip was to plant seeds that would result in bearing fruit for the rest of our lives. And it would give us a new understanding of the responsibility that we have to respond in action, in bearing fruit out of thankfulness for God's grace in our lives. Another purpose of this is to set a new course and a new trajectory in our lives as we navigate through life walking with the Lord. It's given us a much-needed new perspective. It's given us an appreciation for what we have back here at home in Canada. And it's helped us realize that we don't live in Canada or enjoy any of its benefits out of anything that we deserve, but it's merely the fact that we were born here, in the same way that the people who are working the dump are born into that cycle of poverty. So it teaches us that instead of living lives of entitlement and selfishness, we need to live lives of humble gratitude, depending on God in every area of our lives, instead of caving into the self-sufficiency and security-obsessed culture we live in. So we can look back on this experience and look at the incredible examples of our brothers and sisters down in Peru as a milestone in our own journey with the Lord. Looking back on this trip, realizing that it's happened, putting on the jersey, looking at the pictures, realizing that that was an experience that actually happened, because I know sometimes it kind of feels like a dream, or maybe that was just me. But looking back and realizing that that is a marker in our lives where we've taken a turn, we've gotten closer to the Lord, and we'll continue to walk alongside him for the rest of our lives. So coming back from this trip, just thinking about it, reflecting on it, the parable of the talents really came to mind out of Matthew 25. And in that parable, Jesus talks about a man who goes on a journey, and he entrusts a pretty big sum of money to three of his servants. To one he gives five talents, to one he gives two, and to one he gives one talent. And a talent at that time was about 20 years of wages for a laborer. It's a lot of money. So he goes off on his journey and he entrusts this money to his servants to go and do something with it. And he comes back and he realizes that the servants that he's given five talents to and the servant he gave two talents to have actually doubled what they originally had. They've gone out. They've been proactive. They've been proactive in responding to their master's entrustment of his talents. But the man who had one talent given to him goes and buries it. He hides it. He takes the easy, lazy way out. He does nothing and is in turn severely rebuked. So Jesus is saying through this parable that we need to be faithful in our gifts and our potential. And it talks about the importance of managing all that God has entrusted us to our care, and realizing that using one's God-given abilities wisely and productively is a crucial aspect of discipleship. And as we are faithful, we'll be rewarded with additional opportunities to serve him. So these are the questions I've been asking myself, and I know the team has been asking them too. And this was my second time going down, and part of me thought going into it I would knew what to expect. But in some ways, this was a harder trip for me than the first one I went on. Just wrestling through some of these questions of response. Like, having had the privileges of the experiences, Prue, how am I going to respond? How am I going to use my God-given gifts and abilities to help grow his kingdom and to tell people about Jesus Christ? How am I going to grow in my walk with the King on a daily basis? Given the privilege of the experience, what am I going to do with it? What are we going to do with it as a team? So I'd like to invite the worship band back up. So West London Alliance can be proud with how they were represented down in Peru. This team worked hard, and the pictures and the testimonies show that. They had great attitudes, and they really seized the opportunity that they were given. So behind me is a picture of the team on the last day when we were about to get on that bus and drive back to Lima and fly home. And this picture represents what I'm most excited about. So this is a trip that none of us are going to forget. The bumpy bus rides, the amazing kids, the sights and sounds of the dump, the chicken and rice, the long, hard days of construction, the afternoon at the beach, the Inca Cola, which is a drink that everybody needs to try sometime. It was all amazing. But what I'm most excited about when I think of this trip is seeing how this experience is going to influence all of these young people's lives moving forward. How God is going to move through these students. The orphanage in Trujillo I don't know if I'll ever get that pronunciation right, is called the Pasitos de Fe. And Pasitos de Fe translates into little steps of faith. And in our debrief meetings after the trip, we've been talking about, well, what do we do now? Now after this experience, what do we do? And I think a good place to start is looking to Proverbs 3, where it reminds us that we need to acknowledge the Lord in everything we do. And as we acknowledge the Lord in everything we do, he will set our paths straight. As we take the little steps in our life, it results in a life lived for God that bears fruit in many, many different ways. So that's what I'm excited about, seeing fruit in the lives of this team, seeing fruit in my life and the other leaders as well. And I'm typically a laid-back Dutch guy. I don't typically get too excited externally, but this is, you have to trust me when I say this is what gets me excited about this trip and the great benefit that this trip has had. And I'll be praying, and I just ask the congregation to be praying for this as well, that in the days and the months and years ahead, that this experience would just stay at the forefront of our minds as a marker in our walk with God, as a milestone, but just reminding us that we have a responsibility now as disciples of Jesus Christ to go out and win the world for Christ, to go out and make a difference wherever we've been called, whether it's in our schools, in our jobs, and that we just take the small steps of faith moving forward that results in lives that bear fruit for our Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you for this morning and for the opportunity to share a little bit about our experiences in Peru. God, most importantly, I just ask that as a result of this experience, we would just live lives that manifest your glory, that show your presence here in this world. And Lord, I just pray that we would take the steps of faith and trusting you and acknowledging you in whatever we do to set our paths on a new trajectory towards living a life for you, Lord, in everything we do. And it's difficult, Lord, in our culture. A culture which has all but rejected you, God. Pray that we would be faithful disciples of Jesus here in London, Ontario in 2014, that we would look for ways to make your glory known here in London. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.